How are you? Extended peace passing for the Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. One of the wonderful things about this church is we have a lot of really, really good dads. And so we see you and we're so grateful. And thanks. It's like you read my mind. We're so grateful you exist. We're so grateful for what you bring to this place. And then, and so I just want to pray blessing over dads, but I also want to acknowledge that holidays like this, as exciting and wonderful as they are, they also, like everything else, have a shadow side. And so if you're like, I hate today, because maybe you have a complicated relationship with your dad, or you're grieving the loss of your father, there's loads of reasons why there's a both and to this day. And so I just want to say, if today's a complicated day for you, we also see you, and we're so thankful that you're here. We are not a church that believes you have to have children in order to be like the fullness of a human being. But we do want to celebrate kids, and we want to celebrate the dads that are raising them. And so if you will, let me pray for you. If you're sitting near a dad and it's not too weird for you, you can just like put your hand on them or reach your hand out or around, and we're just going to ask blessing for them today. So God, we thank you that this is a place filled with men who care deeply about their kids. And so I just ask your blessing on the men in this room, that I pray that you would give them rest. I pray that you would give them eyes to see the intricacies and complications and dreams and questions of their children, no matter how old they are. I pray that you would continue to grow them in wisdom and courage and kindness as they lean in. And I just ask that they would feel loved and celebrated today. And for everyone in the room who today is less than celebratory, I just ask for your peace. I ask for your comfort. We thank you that that you are our Heavenly Father. I think for some people that's wonderful news, and for some people that takes some work to figure out how to relate to you as Father. And so I just ask for your mercy and your comfort and your peace as we do that. In your name we pray, amen. I'm going to read our scripture for us today, and then I'm going to bring out our, you know, we're doing conversations every single week, so we get a surprise guest every single week. So I'll bring him out in a minute. But our scripture today is, it comes from Romans 5, verses 1 through 11. It says this: "Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege, where we now stand and confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance builds or develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his son. Now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God." All right. Our celebrity guest today is Tim Teague, my dad. Yeah. So fun.
Thank you. Thank you for that very much. Thank you. That rousing applause. Wow. Just quick footnote. That Romans 5, okay, Romans 5, verse 8, it's in there. We just read it. It's the proof of that. In the J.B. Phillips translation, says the proof of God's amazing love is this, is that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What a powerful verse, right? My favorite verse, when I die, and that if that verse is not read at my funeral, I will haunt you all. All of you, I'll come back and haunt you. Ty, thanks for laughing a little louder than everybody else. That helps me. That helps me. Man, okay. It's a good verse.
It's a good verse. That's why we picked it.
Wow.
Okay, so it's Father's Day.
Yes. It's Happy also Father's Day to those of you that need to hear that.
It's also your birthday, which you asked me not to say.
I did ask you that. No, don't, please. Yeah. Hey, listen. This church asked about Jesus. Not about it's about Jesus.
But I want to ask you, we've been talking about prayer for the last few, really last couple of months, and I want to get there, and I want to ask you about prayer. Okay. But it is Father's Day, and you are my dad, and we happen to be on stage, so I really can ask you some dad questions.
Listen, this is I'm afraid with what's coming. Yes, sure.
Here's my first one.
Okay.
Do you have, this is your chance. Do you have any funny or embarrassing stories you want to, I said it was your birthday, so you can get me back.
Yeah.
That you want to tell, and if not, I have a prompt for you.
There's so many, too many to say. But no, go ahead and give me a prompt, because I really don't at this point.
Would you talk about the two worst days of your life? We have this college parent ministry that we're talking about, and your two worst days did have to do with me in college, so.
Yeah, there was two. I don't know if these are the two.
I thought it was the first and last.
Well, yeah. Well, I was thinking the one in the middle. So we send Lindsay off to college. Now, some of you who don't haven't had children go to college yet, you'll understand. Some parents grieve. Oh my gosh, we're so sad that they're leaving and all that. Not true for us. It's like my friend goes,
I'm not finding this out now. Friend, I was also there.
My friend said, yeah, we were driving home after dropping our son off and we had to pull the car over because we were both crying so hard. It's like, whoa, we went and left and I think we went to dinner. But then she came home about 2 or 3 weeks after being in college and at UT. And we brought her home and she was in interior design. She had this big drawing board and all of her dirty clothes for 3 weeks because she didn't learn how to wash her clothes. So she walks out and she gets in the car because there's a wedding that weekend she's going with us to. And I go, hey, you got the board. That's good. You're studying. And I go, what's that? She goes, it's my dirty clothes. I said, take those back. She goes, I'm going to take them home. I go, yeah, you're going to take them home thinking that your mom is going to wash your clothes. Your mom won't do that. Just go ahead and take them back. I'm going to wash them myself. So, yeah, okay. So she comes home, and you know, and it's Friday night or Friday afternoon. Saturday comes, the wedding comes. Sunday, actually, Saturday night late, she goes, hey, can you just take me back to the dorm at UT? And it's like, yeah. You want to go now? She goes, yeah, that'd be great. I go, okay. So she takes her board out, right, and all in just all of her stuff except for that big bag of clothes. I go, where's your clothes? She goes, I'm just going to leave it here. And I go, oh, no. No, you're not. You're not going to leave it here. You're taking that bag home. You're not going to. I can't believe you're going to make me take that bag of clothes home. I go, they're your clothes, and no one's washing them here. And so at 11:30 or 12 o'clock on Saturday night, 3 weeks into the term, I let my daughter off at UT, and that place is blasting. I mean, it's like New York City at Times Square. It's nuts. And I go, is it like this every Saturday night? She goes, it's like this every night. And I went, I want to go get in the car. We're going home. But I never forget watching her walk back to her dorm carrying that huge board and that huge Santa Claus bag of clothes. Next day she calls. She goes, I washed my clothes. I said, yes, you did. Don't ever bring them home again. That's what parenting is about, kids. That's what parenting is about. So then I go pick her up. She goes, hey, Daddy, would you come and get me? It's the end of the year, right? And I go, yeah, pack all your stuff up. Pack all your stuff up and we'll get it. She goes, I'm ready now. I go up there. There's nothing packed. I mean, there's like just like things everywhere. It's crazy. Thank you, Daniel, by the way, because you brought some organization into the chaos. I mean, y'all, it was nuts. It's like a TV and this box of who knows what. And then you got to wait forever on those elevators. So I'm carrying this huge box of stuff and her TV down 8 flights of stairs. And like, I'm not happy at all. And I open the door and I drop it all. Right in front of all those people. Television there, clothes there, other things there.
And you said, this is the worst day of my life.
Yes, I did. I've had some hard days. Nothing beats that. Oh, it was. I can't even describe it. I didn't come close to telling you the nightmare that was. My word. Oh, gee. I went to her room one time. I'm sorry. I got another one now. No, never mind.
You're like,
so funny. Speaking of that, thank you, Daniel. Oh, praise God. Pray for your children's spouses. You are a happy Father's Day, too, by the way. Okay, enough already.
Okay, I'm detouring us.
I was church this morning. Well, we went and we had this man talking about his daughter. And, oh, God, they need prayer.
Okay, I had this moment during right before passing the peace, because David's here, Paul's here, like Jennifer's here. These people who like helped raise me, and I feel like one of the most significant things for me growing up is that you surrounded yourself with men and women that could speak into your life and specifically into parenting. And I'm just curious if you would talk about that for a while. How did that shape you as a parent? And
yeah, that's great. It takes a village to raise a child. I don't know who said it. Maybe Teddy Roosevelt or something like that. I made that up. So it really is a great statement.
We'll put it in the show notes.
we did have a village to help raise our children. And you mentioned some that are in this circle right now. But there are two men in my life that made it. Really had an impact on my life when it came to being a parent. One was a man by the name of Alec Woodhull. He was my peer's dad, so he was the age of my parents, and he was just a mentor, especially when we had kids. We'd walk. I'd come into his house. He lived on a farm, and we would just walk, and he would just listen. And one of the things that I kept talking about, particularly Lindsay, being, I don't know, a daddy of a daughter, golly, you know, I would be a daddy of a 10-year-old daughter. About that time I got the hang of being a daddy of a 10-year-old daughter, she turned 11, I'd have to start all over again. It's like, what the heck? But he said, and one thing was really sweet, he goes, and really kind, but also pretty bold. You know, he loved me enough to say I say important things, not hard things. And so he said, everything I hear in you is you're parenting out of fear. Fear of what she might do, or fear of what he might do, talking about Drew. And he goes, I think that's a really hard way to live. And it's a hard way to parent. He said, even if it goes wrong, it'll be okay. Because God's in control. And you know God, and he knows you, and you're doing everything you can to pursue him. And you want your children to know him. And if it goes, if the wheels fall off, the wheels fall off. But God's still there. And I think it's dangerous to parent out of fear. And I just want to go, wow. I drove home thinking, I'm a 6 on the Enneagram, so I kind of naturally, that's kind of the direction I go. And then I don't know how old Lindsay was. She may be 12 or 11, you know, in between 10 and 12. And so we were at Young Life Camp. We spent a month at Young Life Camp. And I got the privilege of at Young Life Camp to be a character. It's called program director. I do skits and games and music and that kind of stuff. And I just dress up as a character like Elwood in overalls. And so if you see her Instagram post today, you'll see Elwood in those overalls. But there's a guy named Charlie Patton who was a great dad. I mean, he was really one of my heroes as a dad, because the way he loved his kids, he had two daughters, and they were just incredible. I'll never forget, I'm sitting way up here on this patio looking across the lake, and he's sitting in a chair running the zip line that comes down to the lake, and his like 14-year-old daughter is sitting in his lap, and there was nothing like wrong or, you know, questionable about that. And I just thought, oh man, if my 14-year-old daughter, she felt comfortable enough to sit in the lap of her dad and just laugh. That was just incredible. And so I watched him all month just be a dad. And I called him my hero, you know, kind of like a hero of a dad. And then the last day came, and he comes up, he goes, hey, and he would watch me do a skit, and in the same outfit, I'd ream Lindsay out for something that she's done.
I did get chewed out one time by Garth from Wayne and Garth.
Yes.
I don't know if that's happened to you in your life, but.
Probably has.
But, you know. I hate that show.
Same week, same time. Anyway, so Charlie, this is where he starts his conversation. He says, I'm going to say some hard things. I don't know if you're going to like or not. And I go, don't you love hearing that? I'm going to say a couple hard things. You need to sit down. You're going to love this. And then he did. And he just said, I've watched you as a parent. And it kind of echoed the same thing that Alec had said. Some of the things you're doing, he goes, you're a great Young Life leader. And people love you. And yet I watch you treat your son and your daughter really harshly. I mean, you're really hard on them. And I'm thinking, well, you know, we're going to keep them in line or whatever. He goes, do you mind if I offer you some things? And it was like, you're my hero as a dad. Are you kidding me? I watch you all month and I want to be just like you. And he gave me some tips. And a couple of things he said was, one of them was this. He goes, do you pray for your kids every day? And I go, yeah. Yeah, most days. I mean, they're my children. Of course, I pray for them most days. He goes, no, I'm asking you, do you pray for your kids every day? Every day of their life, do you pray for your children? And I went, you know, there are those days where, and then he stops and he goes, why not? If you don't pray for your kids, who will? You think somebody out there is praying for your kids every day? They're not. If you're not, who is? And at that point, y'all, I made a commitment to pray for my kids and now grandkids every day. Every day. He said, there are things that you do with high school kids that you need to do with your own kids, your own children. He said, you're so good with hanging out with high school kids and being in their world and listening to their stories. I would encourage you to do the same with your children. Show up. Don't talk so much and just listen or ask a question. And it changed my parenting. One thing that I got to tell about Charlie that come back, about 5 years later, I was asked to speak on a weekend camp. It was the weekend of state championship in football. Drew was a sophomore in high school. He wasn't seeing any time, but he was on the team. And we started out 0-4. We ended up going 6-4. We ended up winning the state championship. And I called the guy that asked me to speak. I go, that weekend, you've asked me to speak. We may go to the state championship in football. If we do, then I'm going because my son, my daughter's cheering. He goes, yeah, absolutely. No, you'd already graduated. So he goes, yeah, I get it. So we win the first round of playoffs. I go, yeah, We're okay, we're still in second round playoffs, third round. Finally, we win the semifinals, we're going to the state championship. I call Kevin, I go, hey, I can't speak next weekend. He goes, I got it, don't worry about it. 2 days later, after I told him that on Saturday morning, 3 days later, I get a call from Charlie, the guy at Windy Gap, that said, hey, can I give you some tips? And he said, hey, I don't know what the story is. I got asked just now to speak on a weekend because you can't, because you're going to watch your son at a football game. Way to go, Dad. And I hung up the phone, I looked at my wife, I said, my hero just told me I was a good dad. The thing is that, listen, I mean, I just learned to try to listen to my kids. Now, with Lindsay, it was a little harder, because when I was trying to speak, she would speak over me. But then I learned that our radio, this is back when, before Spotify and all that kind of stuff, our radio in our car went out in the Mazda, and I would drive Lindsay to Knoxville to cheer, this cheer thing. And it was like the greatest day of the week with her because the radio wasn't on. And all I had to say was, tell me about your day. And I didn't talk until we got to the place in Knoxville where I'm telling you, turn your radio off. You know, my grandkids, the first thing they ask is, hey, the little ones, can we watch a show? It's like, not in my car, not yet. Now, if it's a long trip, we're watching a bunch of those shows.
I was about to say, you also, if when the radio did work, you would be like, do you want to listen to Journey? And we'd be like, no, please, no, anything else. So you just picked music we hated.
That's right.
And we'd say, we'd opt out of all music.
Why wouldn't you listen to the best voice in rock and roll? Those are the two men in my life that you were asking.
I do think on the note of riding in the car, just if it's helpful, you were really, really busy. Like, your job was busy. It took you out a lot in the evenings, and some of you are really, really busy, and I didn't feel that. Somehow we escaped that, and a lot of it was because of being in the car together. And I would say this often, that our drive to school and our drive home from school, and then later, you know, once your kids drive and stuff like that, it sort of switches around, but that I was convinced that you prayed that Jesus would multiply those minutes like loaves and fish, because we could do a lot of work in a little bit of time if it was intentional work. And so it allowed you to be gone a lot, because you could spend 10 minutes looking me in the eye. If you've ever ridden with him, you know that was while driving, looking me eye to eye.
You were in the back seat.
Yeah, I was in the back seat.
Kristen knows.
For the time she was allowed to ride with you. But yeah, there was a lot of intention put in there. And so if you're here and you're busy.
Let me say one thing about that. Yeah. Driving to school, with my job, Ginger taught, so she'd have to go to school. So my job, family, it was dad, was to drive my children to school every day and pick them up every day. And then I could flex with my job. And I lamented the day Lindsay got her driver's license, because that took me away from her. But then Dan and Ginger Williams, a couple that they're just wonderful. They were on Young Life Committee, and Danny, their son, he was a Young Life leader as well. And he told me one day, he goes, "You know what? My dad, he'd walk us to school. They lived near the school, and we'd pray every morning before as we walked to the school. He would pray for us every morning." I go, "Every morning?" He goes, "Every morning." I thought, I can do that. So I committed to pray out loud with my children, the best I could remember, every day when we drove to school. And then Lindsay started driving, so I prayed even more when she started driving.
You did teach me to drive.
That's so. Why I was praying.
Okay, I have one last question. This is kind of an awkward one, but I get asked this a lot, and I just wanted to ask you because I feel like I'm in a weird position to answer this, but we went to church a lot, and a whole lot. And there was a season of church where our church was bonkers. I mean, things were like imploding.
Yeah.
And we kept going, and I didn't really understand why. And I've struggled with this as a parent, and I know a lot of people in the room. Why did you force us to go to church?
I didn't say my first answer. A couple reasons. I felt like that even though the church wheels were loosening at the church we were attending at the time, I felt like that your mom and I had the responsibility as believers, and the responsibility as believers in the church to be involved with bringing Christ into the doors of the home. I mean, of the church house. And so that also included you all. I mean, I wanted us to go as a family to know that, hey, it's not all good. It's not all, you know, butterflies and clouds, fluffy clouds. It's life. And so I wanted us to experience life together and experience what God was doing in the midst of the heart. The other thing is that I just believe, I mean, I if I had to do it over again, we wouldn't go as much. Those bells, man.
In the handbells. I also got kicked out of the handbells. You'll be shocked to know.
Yeah, that was...
Thank God.
Yeah. Yeah, that was kind of a rough deal, those handbells. But but I just think that it's, you know, it's God's people. And so we were committed, Ginger and I were committed to bringing you into the presence of God's people, even though, I mean, we're all broken. And so I just, yeah, we were, and there were remnants of people who love Jesus there. And we wanted them to be with you. And we wanted them to be, I mean, we want you to be with them and them with you. And so I feel like that's somewhat of the responsibility of us as a church, is that we need to be, you know, like if I'm speaking to high school kids, I go to church. Because old people need to see you there, and you need to see old people there. And I think that was part of it, too. Mrs. Scarborough, we go to this church for the very first time, and we don't know anybody except for Paul and his wife, Carol. And so we're kind of walking around, and we leave our kids with a lady named Mrs. Scarborough. And she was 180 years old. I don't know how old she was. That's like, how are you walking? But... To give my kids over to her, and she's hugging them and, oh, calling them by name. It's like, this is the way it's supposed to be. An old lady who just envelops your children with the fragrance of Christ. Why would we not want that?
That's all my parenting questions.
Okay.
you got any more thoughts?
I may have. Let me look at my notes if I can work this. Well, I won't be able to, so it doesn't matter. Oh, here we go. Whoops. Do you know my code, Lindsay?
Mm-hmm. You got it.
Okay. Whew. Good. Yeah, I want to say two things real quick. Oh, one thing real quick. We were involved with ministry, and some of you are. I love you, and with your job, whatever it may be. And so the things that my children learned in this, and I don't know how, it was only from the grace of God. I also want to steal somewhat what Nick said a couple of weeks ago about time of prayer and all that kind of stuff. I'm a clown, y'all. And only by God's grace are my kids following Jesus. And I mean, there's people who prayed. My mother-in-law, no question, prayed every day for us. I know that. But somewhere, the Lord just honored and gave us some great things. And so, with you all. But one of the things with us for ministry is that I discovered by my children, that, Dad, it's not just you. It's not like you're the pastor or you're the whatever, and we just kind of come along. We're all in this thing together. And we really have done that all of our lives. And it's not just Lindsay, it's Lindsay and Daniel and the boys. It's their ministry and with you all and us. And two things happened. One was Drew, we moved to Knoxville his senior year, Drew. And I was really frustrated because he wasn't playing with his friends back in Maryville because I've had to bring him home due to snow. And I said, hey, buddy, I'm sorry. I wish I just left you out there and let you play with your friends in the snow. And he goes, why didn't you? It's like, well, because... You know, I'm just like, and then he goes, Dad, it's not just you that moved to Knoxville. It's all of us. It's just our ministry. It's not just yours. He's like, oh, why don't you go to my job and I'll go to your math class on Monday. And then Lindsay, when she was in high school, we used to be able to go to lunch and just meet friends, meet high school friends. And we were asked not to do that. And Lindsay said, hey, Dad, why don't you come and sit with me during lunch? Because they'll let dads come. And she sat with all the high school guys that I wanted to pursue. It's our ministry. That's it.
Did you have two?
No. Oh. It was Drew and you.
Children. Yeah. Okay. I want to change to talking about prayer. Oh. Every week we've defined prayer as paying attention to God. Prayer is not so much, dear God, amen. It is that. That's part of it. But another piece is just anywhere in our lives that we pay attention to God. And so with that definition of prayer being paying attention to God, what does your prayer life look like right now?
So I went on this retreat with Seth. That's the kind of definition from Seth Bouchel, who's a spiritual director. And I'm sitting with eight of the Young Life staff. And he says, what's your prayer? Define your prayer life right now. And all of us went, and we got to a buddy named Scott, and he goes, yeah, what is prayer to you? And he says, it's paying attention to God. And it's like, oh, that's it, of course. It's that pray without ceasing. And I think it's 2 Thessalonians 5 or verse 7, one of those. And it's like, for me, it's like, oh, okay, that makes sense. I read another book by this guy named Brother Lawrence, and he says just essentially paying attention and praying all day, anything, any opportunities. And so I do a couple things for my prayer life. Is that I have a prayer journal to where I'm listing people, things, and I use that prayer journal daily. I'll open it up and go through people. And some days, like when I was on Young Life staff full-time in Maryville, Tuesday would be we have our committee meeting once a month, and so Tuesday would be a day I'd pray for the Young Life committee. I have listed guys I was praying for and Young Life leaders, all those things, and my family. Those are some do every other day or a day of the week, and then some get every day. And so, but then there's a sense of how can I be attentive to the presence of God? And so there's things that just come up that allow me to or just spurs my heart to hold people before the Lord. And sometimes I don't really know how to pray. I just trust that the Holy Spirit will pray for me. I think it's Romans somewhere 8, there's a groaning within, and I just allow him to do that. And it'll come up like a simple thing, like we have a contract on our house, and the people that purchase our home live between us and the red light at Walmart in Alcoa. So I pass their house five times a day or more. Usually it's, yeah. But I pray for them every day when I go by them. It's just because the Lord's brought that to my attention. I read somewhere where when you hear an ambulance or see an ambulance, pray for the people in the ambulance and the families that's affected. Just little things like that that just spur my heart to pay attention to God. So there's a prayer list, but also just being open to see what God might bring in my path. That's kind of my prayer strategy. I also have some men in my life that do that with me.
I was thinking about this last week. We interviewed Chad, and at the end he told this story about being at this place he goes to all the time, and he's talking to this girl, and he knows her by name, and she just kind of like opens up her story to him a little bit, just like this little peek into her life, and how he was like, this is prayer. Like I'm knowing Jenny. I'm knowing her name over and over again. And one of the things that you taught us really well, / was very annoying, is that we never went anywhere that you didn't know someone or talk to someone. This is a true story. One time we were going to the beach, and we went through Alabama, stopped at a random McDonald's in Alabama, and my dad saw two different sets of people he knew in like Podunk, Alabama. I don't even know where we were. It was like, we literally cannot go anywhere without you. But part of our childhood was like, we knew Lena at 411. We knew her name. We knew her life. We know Diana, and we know Mary at Los Amigos. You know, like we know these people because everywhere that you went, you would learn people's names, and you taught us to do that. And I think that becomes a place of prayer, is like just noticing other people and allowing a little piece of their story into your life, I think is a huge thing. you said you meet with people. This has been really, I've watched you for 42 years, and this has been incredibly important as I've watched your prayer life. But you meet with the same two people every Thursday for lunch. Will you tell us a little about that?
I do, yeah. There's really three that are in the story. A long time ago, when I came on Young Life staff, my friend Jim Branch was already on Young Life staff. He'd been on staff for a year, and he and I were college friends. And so we did a whole lot of things together and just did Young Life work together and stuff. And so somewhere, when we both came on Young Life staff, somewhere we decided, hey, let's get together and pray and just pull together and laugh. And he lived in Chattanooga, and I lived in Maryville. And so once a month, we would meet in Athens, and we'd eat breakfast, and then we'd write stuff, a skit, or, you know, and we'd talk about the Vols, and then we'd eat lunch. And in between those times, we'd talk about scripture or whatever it might be. And then after lunch, we'd go to this little church in Athens, and we would pray. And so that became a rhythm in our life, that once a month we'd meet in Athens, and that's what we would do. And so then we both moved to Knoxville and became on Young Life staff in Knoxville, so we worked in the same office. And so it went from every Thursday versus one Thursday a month. So every Thursday, Jim Branch and myself and a guy named Buddy Odom, who also is a friend and somewhat a mentor as well to many. And so we would do the same thing. Buddy was not on Young Life staff. He was in a different ministry. But we would meet for lunch, talk about the Vols, and then we'd talk about scripture, and then we'd pray. And so that's gone on for, like Lindsay said, at least 40 years. Buddy, his job changed, so he moved out of that opportunity because he just couldn't meet anymore. But then another guy named Will Acker came and started working with Jim and I in Knoxville. And so we would, every Thursday, just what Lindsay would say. She said, we would just get together and eat and pray and protect that time. I mean, we really protect it. And sometimes it's frustrating because Ginger needs me at times, or my job needs me at times. And I just say, this is too important to me, because this is where my soul is being fed. And so we still meet every Thursday. But then about 5 years ago, Jim, we'd all have kind of different things going on in our life as far as our rhythm of time with our time with the Lord. And Jim said, hey, why don't we all do the same devotion together? And would y'all want to read the same psalm for that daily psalm every day? It's like, why wouldn't we? We do this every Thursday. So now, for at least 5 years, I think I've said this in here before, but for Sunday through Saturday, there's Psalms. Today, Psalm 23. And so I'm reading Psalm 23, Jim's reading Psalm 23, and Will's reading Psalm 23. And then we have the same devotion that we're using. And so as we're looking at the same devotion, today is 1 Timothy 4. And so I'm reading 1 Timothy 4, same thing with Jim and Will. And while we're all morning people, and so we're spending time with the Lord in the morning, so it just naturally becomes texts about what God's doing in our heart and our soul as we're reading the scripture together. And you talk about accountability, and talk about as iron sharpens iron, and the depth of my journey with Christ has gone deeper because there's two men in my life that daily we're talking about Jesus. And some days we don't. And it's also accountability, like if Jim and Will are texting about the scripture and I don't, somebody's not read the scripture. It's usually me.
So if you just want to tap your neighbor and ask them, they're willing. I'm sure everyone here is willing to do that all week. Okay. Yes. You got anything else? I'm going to close this up if you don't.
Just one thing. In closing. How's that? So we're cleaning our house because we have this contract, and I came on this note just this week and thought, what timing? So this is you can't see this. Everybody see? It's like sheep or rams or something. And there's just a flock of rams, and there's one with a bow tie. And the other ones don't have a bow tie, obviously, but it's a loud bow tie. And it says this, adding to my misery, : no one here thinks I'm funny. That was sent to me.
I relate to that.
And this is what it says, what's wrong with these people? I saw this card, and I started dying laughing in the store, because I also know that both of us often feel this way. I love you so much. I'm the luckiest girl ever.
It's me. Oh.
I can't finish reading.
That's your birthday card.
I started thinking, this card's 20 years old or more. So, okay. In summary, that's it. Oh, no, gosh, I got to tell one. Oh, I can't believe I missed this. I'm so sorry. And I know we're late. Like, lunch is burning now, y'all. I forgot this. This is very important. I'm for real. So, talking about prayer life and prayer strategies and rhythm. I have a friend named Mike Ashburn who's on Young Life staff, and he's at one time was the comedian of the ministry. Seriously. I mean, any all-staff conference he shows up, he still does. Very humorous man. Incredible. Loves Jesus. Charlotte, our granddaughter, was born, and, you know, 3 months early, hard, 100 days in the NICU. Y'all know the stories. If you haven't, come ask me about it. 100 days in the NICU. 2 days into that, my friend Ash, I've known him since 1985. He calls me out of the blue, and he goes, hey, I just called to see what's going on. I saw something on Facebook or something. I tell him the story. I go, ask Charlotte's, you know, Charlotte, and I don't know if she's going to make it or not. I mean, this is, and we didn't know if she would live from day to day. And he starts, he goes, oh, man, I'm so sorry. I love y'all. And he says, can I pray for you and pray for Charlotte right now? I go, oh, please, thank you. And he prays on the phone for Charlotte. And he prays this prayer from Colossians 1, verses 9 through 14. And I said, that's beautiful. Where'd that come from? He goes, Colossians 1, 9 through 14. He goes, I pray for about 15 people every day. And I'm adding Charlotte to the list. And today, Ash calls me. This morning, before this, he goes, hey, how you doing? Happy birthday. I just wanted to let you know, praying for y'all every day. If Ash is praying for my granddaughter.
Charlotte's five.
She's five. He's prayed every day for 5 years. If Ash is praying for my granddaughter every day for 5 years, woe to me if I'm not. And I captured Colossians 1, 9 through 14. So you as parents or grandparents or aunts or uncles, if you want to pray for your family, Colossians 1, 9 through 14. I'm going to read it.
It's about to be on Selah.
Oh, good. Yeah. Well, never mind. That's Selah. Did you set it up?
Yeah, you did. It was perfect. Here's a tip. If you're looking for prayer, Colossians 1, 9 through 14. But Paul wrote a lot of letters in the New Testament. So Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. All of those are letters from Paul to the church. The first chapter and the last chapter of every single one of those books is just a prayer for Paul to God's people. And within that, if you are looking for a way to pray for people, you will find something in there. If you read that first chapter and last chapter, you will find words if words aren't coming to you. But here's what I want to do. For our Selah today, we're going to put Colossians 1 on the screen, and I want to give you a moment to pray for. It's going to go, I'm hoping it's going to go really slow, and we'll go through each line. And what I would love is for you, if you're a parent, will you pray this for your kids? If you're a grandparent, will you pray this for your grandkids? If you're an aunt or an uncle, would you pray this for your nieces or nephews? And here's the truth, is like every single person in this room, you have influence over the life of a kid, whether you have one, have a grandkid, have a niece, have if you have none of those, there's a whole classroom of kids who are dying for you to speak into their life. So will you think of a kid and pray this over their life for the next few minutes? And we'll throw this on the screen. I'm going to pray real quick and bless this time, and then I'm going to give you a few minutes to pray. Thanks, Dad.
You're welcome. Thanks for letting me. Sorry I talked so much.
You know, that's what we ask you to do.
I do that a lot.
Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for a moment. And I just ask in the next few minutes, would you give us vision for kids in our lives? Would you give us vision for kids in those rooms and in that hallway? And would you give us vision for what it would look like to pray for them? In the way that we all wish and maybe had someone praying for us. And so I just ask that you would create in us rhythms of praying outside of ourselves for people that we love. In your name we pray, amen.